Reading from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur. This is chapter 12, Nityananda Mahima, continuing the glories of Lord Nityananda. And yesterday we heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offering prayers. He worshipped Lord Nityananda. Then he offered him prayers. And then Vrindavan Das Thakur, he says, Chaitanya Rase Nityananda Mahamati Jai Balena Jai Karena Sarvatra Samati. Vrindavan Das Thakur said, the most magnanimous Nityananda is absorbed in ecstatic love for Lord Chaitanya. So whatever he does or speaks is always approved by the Lord. Chaitanya Rase Nityananda. Next verse. This is text 22. Prabhu bale eka kani kopina tumar deha iha bhara icha achaye amar. This is the famous Kopin Leela. It's interesting. This is a pastime about Lord Nityananda. In the same context of these last two chapters, we heard several times that Lord Nityananda was Digambara. He had no clothes at all, including Kopin. He was naked. And now this whole pastime is about Nityananda's Kopins, which means his undergarments. So Lord Bishambhar, he said, Nitai, give me a piece of your Kopin. I have a great desire to have it. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains, while traveling to the holy places with one sannyasi, at that time, Lord Nityananda formally accepted the principle of wearing the brahmachari kopin. Mahaprabhu expressed a desire to beg that kopin, which is a sign of a brahmachari. Text 23. Etabali prabhutara kopina aniya chottakari chirilena aneka kariya. After speaking in this way, Vishwambar took Nityananda's kopin and tore it into many small pieces. So it appears that even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is approving of Lord Nityananda's Digambara Vesh. Because now he only has kopins, and Lord Chaitanya is taking his kopins, which means again, Nityananda becomes Digambara, he becomes naked. But this is for another purpose. So he took his kopin, and he tore his kopin into small pieces. Sometimes, on Janmastami, or Radhastami, after the deities are bathed, Radha Madhav, Radha Shamsundar, they wear the snan vesh, or their snan vastra, their bathing clothes. It's usually some thin white cloth, some thin cotton or maybe silk, and wrapped around the deity, Radharani or Krishna, Radha Madhav. Then all the substances are poured over their bodies. They look so beautiful. Krishna looks so beautiful. His transcendental body showing through his snan vastra, his bathing cloth, very much reminds devotees. When devotees see the deities like this and they think of Jalkeli, they think of Krishna's water pastimes in Radhakund in the afternoon, Nityalila every day in Madhyankal, in Radhakund at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Radha and Krishna have their water splashing pastimes. They splash water on each other and they throw lotus flowers at each other. Then they play hide-and-seek amongst the lotus flowers. So the acharyas describe how beautiful Krishna's transcendental form looks at that time. And Radharani, of course, looks even more beautiful. When her clothes are wet, they're very thin garments. And when they're wet from the waters of Radhakund, and her body, and Krishna's body is so effulgent with ecstatic love, that effulgence and that beauty combines to shine through the thin cloth to look very, very beautiful and attractive to all the sakis and mandris that are gathered on the shore. So here, we hear about Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya is tearing his kopins up into small pieces. And he says, Sakala Vaishnava Mandalire Jane Jane Tani kani kari prabhu dilena apane. Vishambhar personally distributed those pieces to every one of the Vaishnavas. Prabhubale evastra bandaha sabai shire anyara kidhaya iha vanche yogeshware. Vishambhar said, tie this piece of kopan on your head. What to speak of others? Even the greatest mystic yogis desire this. So, there's, of course, this is not described very much here in the purport, but it's saying here that the mystic yogis, vancha yogeshwari, that the yogis, they have vancha, they have desire to get the vastra, the kopin vastra, or the kopin, the undergarment, from a siddha saint or from a great yogi. Because it's said in a tradition, it's very interesting when you think about, Prabhupada would often say that these charlatan yogis or charlatan gurus, they have the proverbial shakti stick. They have a stick, and that dunder, that stick has power or potency, shakti. And sometimes Prabhupada would describe how the guru will take that shakti stick and touch it to the head of his disciple and say, I'm transferring to you all my power and potency. Now you will become the guru or the mahayogi. And then the guru falls on the floor in a pile of impotency because he's given all his power through to his disciple. So Prabhupada would kind of mock this idea and say, what is this? How, if the guru has any potency and he gives mantra diksha to his disciple, then that potency will also go to the disciple, but it will still remain with the guru. Just like one candle is lit and the other candles are not lit, but when you take the fire from one candle, then you light another candle, both candles continue to burn. They both have power and potency to illuminate. Of course, one is the original candle. So the guru, when he empowers his disciple or gives power to his disciple, he doesn't diminish in his power, rather he increases his power. Because he empowers the disciple to expand the glories of Krishna. So by empowering the disciple, the guru becomes more empowered himself. It's told in the Puranas that when a guru engages his disciple in sadhana bhakti or in sukriti or good deeds, he may have a grihastha and he tells that grihastha disciple, you should build dharmashalas, Sanskrit vidyalayas, or you should build bathing ghats. These are different pious activities. Especially if it's building temples, then of course it becomes divya sukriti or spiritual sukriti. So if he engages a disciple like that in pious activities, what to speak of sadhana bhakti, then whatever result is going to the disciple, the guru gets 1/4. Something like 1/4, 25%. So if the guru is engaging his disciples in good deeds and in sadhana bhakti, then he gets a portion of that. So that enhances his own sukriti and his own purity and his own standing. It's told in Padma Puran. And then even it's said that sometimes the disciple does more than the guru by the arrangement of Krishna. So the shakti stick, Prabhupada didn't so much buy that concept. That the guru will touch the disciple with the shakti stick, transfer all his potency, and then collapse on the floor with no more power. Because he's passed all the power on to his disciple. Now, reference to the story about Nityananda's kopins, in the society, in the Vaishnav Samaj or the Sadhu Samaj, in the society of sadhus or saintly people, there is great shakti in the kopin. Because first of all, the kopin, or the undergarment of the sannyasi or the vairagi's kopin. When one receives kopin, he may take the line of Goshtinandi and preach as a paribrajak, or he may stay in one place as a kutichak, or he may wander to holy places as Udaka sannyasi, Udaka vairagi, or he may stay in one place and absorb himself in his internal bhajan as Paramahamsa. But all are taking this vairagi vesh, this kopin. Babaji's take kopin, sannyasis take kopin. Here it's saying brahmacharis, those that are taking a vow. And this kopin, there's a whole pratishta. Like we say, pran pratishta. Murti pran pratishta, murti pratishta. To install the deity. There's somebody, you invoke the Lord to come into these elements by certain pujas and mantras from the heart of the pure devotee. He calls out the Lord and invites the Lord to enter into this marble or ashtadhatu murti. And the Lord reciprocates with the pure desire and pure devotion of his devotee. And he comes there and manifests his form, archamurti, archavigraha. So in Kopin, in the Kopin Pran Pratishta, which is summarized in a brief way, a basic way, in Satkriya Saradipika, Gopalbhatta Goswami, he is describing this actual Pratishta. There's the Kopin, the sacred cloth, it's called Dor and Kopin. The piece, the waist, part around the waist and then a part around the private part of the man, this undergarment. So in the fire, there's a fire yajna performed. Then there's actual deities are installed there. Laja Devi, Prithvi Devi, Lakshmi Devi. They're installed in the cloth. Just like you have Ashtadhatu or Dharu, Dharu Brahman. The Dharu Brahman, the wooden form where the Lord manifests, Jagannath, Dharu. Dharu Brahman. So the Lord can manifest everywhere, anywhere. So the cloth, the kapra, the vastra, the Kopin Vastra is cotton, or could be silk, ahimsa silk, mudka silk. So this is a material element. Ashtadhatu is material element, Dharu. But the Lord, by puja, by homa, by yajna, by mantra, by the power of the guru, then the Lord enters that element. Right? Our material body is also a combination of elements, and the Lord is also residing there. So therefore, when this kopin is properly installed with Laja Devi, goddess of shyness, and the goddess of earth, and I believe it's Lakshmi Devi also, all these shaktis, then the kopin itself has power. And then when the sannyasi, or the brahmachari, or the vairagi, sadhu, he's wearing this kopin and then he's doing his own tapasya, then that kopin is considered to have great power. There are numerous accounts in the sadhu samaj of a great tapasvi or a great vairagi or siddha saint giving his kopin, giving his complete kopins to another person. I think even there's some Puranic story about Lord Shiva giving his kopin to someone. I forget. I can't remember exactly. But there are some very famous stories. And that kopin has power. When that shishya or disciple receives the kopin from the siddha saint or the vairagi sadhu, he becomes siddha, he becomes vairagi, just by the contact with that cloth. So there's a lot of background. It's not some funny, humorous pastime where Vishwambhar is begging some cloth from Nittai and then ripping it into small pieces and giving everyone the Vastra Prasad or Prasadi Vesh. Nityananda's Kopin Prasadi Vesh. It's not some humorous pastime. It's quite a serious moment, and a very fortunate moment indeed for any of those followers. In fact, you hear stories where someone wants to give their Kopin to someone and then the disciples say, "No, Gurudev, no. I'm not ready for that. If you give me the kopin, then I'll become renounced. I'll become vairagi. I'm still married." There's some stories like this where the siddha saint has a grihastha disciple. He says, "Listen, I want to give you kopin. I want to give you my kopin." "No, no, no, please, Gurudev. I'm not finished my grihastha work yet. Or my kam or whatever. My activities." So this is a little background to this kopin lila. It's amazing. In Krishna Leela, I mean, there's Leelas with kopins, there's Leelas with Krishna stealing. I mean, it's the same Krishna. Krishna is stealing the Gopi Vastra Harana. Archaitanya Mahaprabhu is Brajendranandan, and he's Shamsundar. So on Braj Leela, as a 6-year-old boy, he's stealing the garments of the gopis. says Gopi Vastra. The Vastra. Here is also the word is Vastra. Nityananda Vastra. So he's stealing the garments of the gopis, and then, of course, he didn't distribute them to the coward boys. He kept them in the branches of the Kadamba tree. And some of the acharyas say that he was putting them all over his shoulder. And they say, why did he put the cloth over his shoulder? And they said that Krishna wanted to become intoxicated by smelling the fragrance of Radharani's cloth. He specially put Radharani. The other cloth was on the branches of the tree. The branches, the Anga, the Kadamba tree, he put the other gopi's cloth. But Radharani's cloth, or there's langara, whatever they call it, this chunari, he put over his shoulder when he was sitting on the Kadamba tree. And he was smelling the fragrance of Radharani on the cloth. So now this Brijendranandan and Shyamasundara comes as Mahaprabhu, Vishwambhara. So now he's not stealing the garments of the gopis, although he is playing with the Nadia Kanyas when they're doing puja. He says, I am that Lord Shiva. Who are you worshipping? He sits in the middle of their puja when they're on the banks of the Ganga. And he says, you're worshipping Lord Shiva for a good husband. You should worship me. I am that Lord Shiva. And eats their offerings. That pastime we've already read about in Chaitanya Bhagavat. But here, Vishwambhara is stealing the kopins of Nityananda. He's not stealing the gopis' saris or whatever. But for a purpose. Not to accept Nityananda. He stole the garments of the gopis to accept their proposal. This is Katyayani month. It's very interesting. This is Katyayani. This is Mrigashirsha. And Krishna says in Gita, Mrigashirsha hum. Mrigashirsha masaham. Among months of the year, I am Mrigashirsha. I am November and December. I always follow Radharani. Wherever Radharani goes, I will go. So Radharani, she came before me. Because Kartik Maina is Radharani's month. Urja Brata. Urja Maina. This Kartik Maina is the month of Radharani. Kartiki Devi. Kartiki Devi Radha. So Radha goes, and Krishna goes behind her. So then the next month is November and December. This month, November, December. So this is the month that the Braja Kanyas, they worship Katyayani. Katyayani Mahamaye Mahayogini Yadishwari Nanda Gopasutam Devi Patimne Kurute Namaha. They were worshipping every day, taking bath in Jamuna, putting all their clothes on the side, and making a deity of Katyayani Durgama. Of course, they were worshipping actually Yogamaya, her other form, Katyayani Yogamaya. And they were praying to her, Nanda Gopasutam Devi, Devi, please give the son of Nanda Maharaj, please make him our husband. Oh, great yogini. So this very same month, for a whole month, they're getting up early, bathing before sunrise, Prataksnan and Jamuna. Then the last day on Purnima, then the gopis, these kanyas, these unmarried gopis, they invited Radharani. They invited Radharani and all the gopis. They said, please, why don't you come? This is the last day of our brata. Why don't you come and take snan with us? And just be there. Be there because you are our worshipful queen. You're Vrindavaneshwari. Please bless us. So on that last day, on this Mrigashirsha Purnima, the last day of their brat on Purnima, then Radharani came with some of her sakis, her Priyanarma sakis. And then Krishna came on that day, interestingly enough. And that was the last day of their brat. So Krishna came to fulfill their brat because they wanted Krishna to become their husband, so he stole their clothes. But Krishna really came to steal Radharani's clothes and to have that association with Radharani as part of the Purva Rag and all the development of their own love and this Boma Vrindavan Leela. So it's very interesting. We're at this juncture, reading Chaitanya Bhagavat, we're reading about Nityananda, we're reading about him stealing or asking for the kopin of Nityananda, then distributing it. That's a funny point when the gopis were criticizing Krishna. They said, what is this? You stole our clothes and went up in the tree and you're hiding our clothes in the branch of the Kadamba tree. And then Krishna has some conversations with the gopis, some very humorous conversations. So one, he says, no, it's not like that. I was at a distance. with the cows, herding the cows, and I looked in the tree and I saw in this kadamba tree, I said, oh, what is this? All these clouds. There's all these clouds sitting in the branches of the kadamba tree. There's pink clouds and green clouds and yellow clouds. Very unusual. So many multicolored, rainbow-colored clouds. And it's not that Krishna's eating any funny herbs or anything. You know, if you eat some funny herbs, maybe you see all these different kind of colors. But I saw all these different colored clouds sitting in the kadamba tree, and out of curiosity, I came here with a few of my friends, a few of my small, you know, coward boyfriends. We came over here and climbed up in the tree just to see what these green and yellow and pink clouds were all about. We didn't steal your clothes. So this is the dialogue that Krishna's having, the acharyas are saying. So Krishna's a very funny speaker. So now back to this pastime. Because it's interesting, because the whole thing is that Gaura Leela is always reaching out to Vrindavan Leela. And Vrindavan Leela, without Gaura Leela, we can't experience Krishna Leela. And when we enter Krishna Leela through the door of the mercy of Nittai Gaura's door, the mercy of Nittai Gaura, then everything becomes sweeter and more magnanimous. And the Leela becomes more accessible. Krishna's Leela becomes more accessible by the receiving the ticket, the entrance ticket from Nittai and Gaura. So he's saying the greatest yogis desire this cloth of Nityananda. Vishambhar is telling everyone, I'm ripping this cloth, this kopan, into small pieces, Nittai's kopan, and I'm giving it to you. Do you understand? What I'm giving you is not just a small piece of cotton. This piece of cloth, this kopin vastra of Nittai, even the greatest yogis of this planet, they would desire to get a piece of this. Because they know that Nityananda Avadut, that this is Nityananda, this is the yogi of all yogis, this is Ananta Shesh. If I just have a piece of this cloth, I'll become perfect in all siddhis, ashta siddhis. And Mahaprabhu goes on, Vishnumara says, Nityananda Prasade se Haya Vishnu Bhakti Janiha Krishnera Nityananda Purna Shakti. Vishnumara said, simply by the mercy of Nityananda, one obtains devotional service of Vishnu. Nityananda Prasad, Haya Vishnu Bhakti. Know it for certain that Nityananda is the full potency of Krishna. Purna Shakti. The Nityananda. So what he's trying to say is, that Purna Shakti, that blessing of Vishnu Bhakti, I'm giving everyone in this Prasad of Nityananda, this Vastra Prasad. Prasadi, we say Prasadi Vesh, the remnants of the Lord. I'm giving this. So now there's this purport by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He's rephrasing what Mahaprabhu said. You should know that Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the complete potency of Lord Krishna. He is the topmost and supreme among all the servitors of Krishna. Only by the mercy of Nittai can one achieve devotion to Krishna. Nittai is the form of Vishnu presiding over the Sandini potency. Although Nittai is Lord Vishnu himself, he nevertheless serves the Supreme Vishnu. He serves the origin of all Vishnu tattvas. Only by the mercy of Nittai is the living entity's propensity for worshipping Hari awakened. Of course, that is brought about by Nittai's feature as Guru. Guru brings about the propensity. Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. The Guru gives that propensity to serve as an Amsha or as a representative of Nityananda. The Guru ignites the capacity to serve within the conditioned living entity. In his form as the younger sister of Radharani, who is Ananga Manjari, Sri Nityananda Prabhu nourishes conjugal mellows. That is why Sri Narottam Das Thakur said, Hena Nittai Bine Bhai Radha Krishna Paite Nai Dridakari Dhara Nittair Pai. Unless one takes shelter of the shade of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, it will be very difficult to approach Radha Krishna. If one actually wants to enter the dancing party of Radha Krishna, does anyone want to enter the dancing party of Radha Krishna? So first we have to enter the dancing party of Gauranga's Nam Sankirtan. And that's freely available, especially here in Navadvip, Mayapur. If one actually wants to enter the dancing party of Radha and Krishna, this is the translation that Bhaktisiddhanta gave, he must firmly catch hold of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. As the supreme Jagat Guru, Sri Nityananda Prabhu alone is the origin of Guru Tattva. In regards to the devotee, Jagat Guru, the spiritual master is an incarnation of Sri Nityananda, who is the manifestation of Sri Chaitanya. The spiritual master is most dear to Lord Krishna, Krishna Preshta, Mukunda Preshta. Because, like Sri Nityananda, the spiritual master is also a manifestation of Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya. And he is renowned to be as good as Nityananda. The travelers on the path of devotional service do not accept the identification of Nityananda's family through seminal consideration. This is called Jati Gosai. The non-devotee smartas who are averse to the service of Vishnu attribute such unreasonable propositions to the family of Nityananda. But the devotees of the Lord are completely against this. So, the idea, of course, especially when this was written in 1920s, 1930s, 80 years ago, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati met a lot of opposition in Bengal for Nityananda Gosai, the family descendants of Birachandra, Nityananda and Birachandra. And they claimed to be the sole proprietors of the right of giving diksha in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. That they had the preference, they were the chosen ones, so to speak. And then if anyone wanted to receive the rare gift Swabhakti Shriyam, the Lord Chaitanya came to give, if anyone wanted to receive Braj Bhakti or Gopika Bhakti, then they must come through the channel of Nityananda Gosai. This was the preaching, very strong preaching and very effective and very influential preaching all over Bengal at the time. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they were great opponents to his preaching, and they were very much, gave him a hard time. Now they don't have so much influence because Gaudiya Vaishnavism is a worldwide phenomenon, worldwide movement. The predicted world church, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, in the future there will be one world church, the world church of the world. There will be one religion, Nam Sankirtan, the worship of Radha and Krishna. So nowadays, there's gurus in every continent, there's gurus in every country, there's gurus from all different backgrounds, and the Nityananda Vamsha, as it's often also called, is not so prevalent or prominent. But nevertheless, in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, especially we're staying at Radhakund, one point is that there are many very illustrious and advanced devotees that are initiated, and even family members and members of the family of Nityananda living today. They're very spiritually advanced, and when they come to Radhakund, they are treated practically like Nityananda, because that is the feeling they have, that there are some people, just to show some other side of the story here, in terms of contemporary times, they're not really much of a threat. Our preaching is going on in a huge way all over Bengal and Orissa and everywhere. They don't have, they're like nothing compared to ISKCON in one sense. But just to set the record straight so we don't have this idea that sometimes we can get this idea, oh, Nityananda Vamsa, they're demons or they're the anti-party. But we should be very careful about such mentality, because there are some extremely advanced and elevated souls. As far as the most advanced devotees in Govardhan, Govindakund and Vrindavan, all the Vrindavan Goswamis and all the Mahants of the Vrindavan temples, whenever an Acharya from Nityananda Vamsa comes, they treat him as if he is Nityananda. He is given red carpet treatment. And immediately he is asked, please you speak for a few days in our temple, give some lecture. And all the senior Babaji's, senior most advanced devotees, will come with great respect and listen very attentively to the Bhagavat Pat or the Chaitanya Charitamrita Pat or Chaitanya Bhagavat Pat lectures that they give. And many times they're very wonderful lectures. So they're also initiating, and now I don't know if they're making so much propaganda about they're the only ones, because it's kind of not so much effective anymore. But just for our own viewpoint and our own understanding, we should be, you know, who are we? Because these personalities, they're actually descendants of God. Their father is Birchandra, whose mother is Vasudha, the wife of Nityananda. Their father is Nityananda, their great-great-great-grandfather. So many of the Vaishnavas, at least that I know in Vrindavan, they don't consider that they have such an exalted viewpoint, I mean such a broad viewpoint, that they don't, this is how far they take it, they don't consider that these descendants of Nityananda are even Jiva Shakti. Yeah, we're Jivas, we're like Tathasta Jivas. I mean Jiva Shakti, but not Tathasta Jivas. Even sometimes they say that they're Vishnu Tattva. Because Nityananda is Vishnu Tattva. Birchandra is Vishnu Tattva. Everyone understands. Birchandra is considered Shiradakshaya Vishnu, whatever. So their descendants, they're also Vishnu Tattva or Shakti Tattva, like Gangadasi, Gangadevi. That's another point. So I'm just trying to give it like a little broad viewpoint in terms of the whole contemporary Gaudiya Vaishnava view. The main point is that these are very difficult subjects to understand, and we just keep our head down, fold our hands, and show all respect. Amanina manidena kirtaniya sadahari. Chinadapi sunichena tadori vasahishana. Amanina manidena kirtaniya sadahari. So although our Param Guru and our Parampara Guru, the Bhagavat Parampara Guru, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he takes some good slashes at the Nityananda Vamsas and Jati Gosais, and Srila Prabhupada does also, we should be a little bit careful about being so outspoken, or being so maybe critical, or even, oh, these Nityananda Gosais, they're all bogus. Careful. Be very careful. We should never imitate the viewpoints. We have to understand very carefully. And moreover, now there's not much, probably maybe most of you sitting in the room have never even heard of Jati Gosai. I never even heard of Nityananda Vamsa. You're saying, what's that? Who are they? Who are they? Where are they? What are they? But when you're around for 20 or 30 years, then you get to know about the culture of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. There's a parampara line coming from Nityananda, and so many different sub-branches of Nityananda's parampara. There's a parampara line coming from Gadadhara Pandit, and so many sub-branches. There's a parampara line coming from Advaita Acharya. And they're all very respectable lines. And we have our line, Bhagavat Parampara. Chaitanya Saraswat Parampara coming from Mahaprabhu and six Goswamis and like this, Gaurakishora. Just a side point we should have a very broad hearts and be very careful and cautious about, oh, this guy there. Because Vaishnava Parad, as Vrindavan Das Thakur warns us repeatedly in Chaitanya Bhagavat, is an ever-present threat. Just like AIDS or terrorists. No one knows when a terrorist is going to strike or someone's going to get AIDS or something. They don't have AIDS, but they get a blood transfusion, and in that blood, there's AIDS germs are there, then, or whatever they call it, then AIDS bacteria, whatever it is. Then you get AIDS from a blood transfusion. It's not that you were some type of a bad character or engaging in illicit activities. You got in an accident, you went to the hospital, they gave you blood that was infected with AIDS. So you can get AIDS, and then you die in 6 months or 1 year or whatever. Depends. You may carry it. So it's, in other words, the idea, the analogy is that it's present. It's a possibility. So it's always, we're surrounded by, we're, it's always a possibility to make aparad, Vaishnava aparad. So we don't dwell on it. We dwell on the positive limbs of devotion and act properly and purely in our dealings, guided by the instructions of Guru and Shastra and Sadhus. But we should be careful, especially when talking about, you know, descendants of Lord Nityananda, or Vaitacharya. As I know, when I first joined ISKCON, that was in 75, I took initiation from Srila Prabhupada, somewhat kind of late. But we used to hear some ideas, and we were very radical, and we were very, oh, all these Mayavadis are demons, and Shati Gosais are demons, and and everybody was a demon except ISKCON. Gaudiya Math were all demons, and the Jati Gosais are all demons. Really, this was the mood. And the only saviors, the only real Vaishnavas were ISKCON. And we really felt like that, and we thought like that, and we spoke like that, we acted like that. And God knows Lord Chaitanya was very merciful that he allowed us to stay around and heal our wounds and overcome our aparad somehow or other. And we're still standing after so many years. But now our viewpoint is a little more mature, a little more proper. So I'm just, as a word of caution to the newer devotees, in a zeal to preach and spread the gospel of Mahaprabhu, don't be so excited and enthusiastic that you step on the heads of other Vaishnavas. Because that might be very disastrous. And we've seen disasters in our own movement of devotees doing similar activities. So, back to the Kopins. This is all the beautiful speaking of Mahaprabhu. The direct words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vishambhara Uvacha, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Bhagavad Gita, or Shukadeva Uvacha. This is the direct words. This is the Gauranga Gita. We compile all these direct statements of the Lord in one book called Gauranga Gita. So here he's glorifying, again he's talking about, this chapter is called Nityananda Mahima, the glories of Nityananda. So now, right now, Vishambhara himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is glorifying Nityananda. He wants everybody to have some prasad. Here, everyone take a piece of kopin. Because Nityananda is representing the epitome of detachment. The epitome, the zenith of vairagya, renunciation, and the epitome of detachment. And Nityananda is representing the perfection, the topmost perfectional form of Krishna Bhakti, the topmost perfectional form of devotional service, is embodied in the form and actions and mentality of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So therefore, everyone take some prasadi vastra. Everyone take a piece of his kopin, which represents all of these tattvas, all of these potencies, all of these concepts. It will all be contained. Like now, we get these little pen drives. Called pen drive. Everyone knows pen drive with modern age computers. So pen drive is a tiny little mechanism or some kind of whatever it is, chip or something. And inside there you can put 40 gigabytes, so much information, all kinds of ideas and pictures, color pictures and poetry and philosophy and movies and all kinds of things can be inside this little tiny thing hanging around your neck. They come on a little necklace. Your pen drive necklace. And you can walk around and have so many things inside there. Really important things, like 10,000 DD pictures and 500 books or whatever, and you can give it to someone else on their computer, pen drive. And that's meaningful to us. But what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, with this little piece of kopin, this little piece of Nityananda's kopin is more powerful than 5,000 gigabytes. 10,000 gigabyte pen drive. A little tiny piece of kopin. Just like in Radharaman Temple. Radharaman Temple in Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Puri, because he was so pleased with the revelations and surrendered service and advancement of Gopal Bhatta, that he sent some of his kopin. He sent a piece of his kopin to Gopal Bhatta. And that kopin is kept in a frame, in a glass frame, like picture frame. And they give darshan of that kopin one day a year. I think it's Radharaman's appearance day, which is in May. It's right after, day after Nisringa Day, something around Nisringa's, same as Nisringa Chaturdasi, next day, I think, in May. So they give darshan of that kopin of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's the ideal acharya. He's distributing Nityananda's kopins. He also distributed his own kopin. So he's this. So what's inside this pen drive, Nityananda's pen drive kopins, let's say, so to speak, is Vishnu Bhakti is there. Nityananda Prasad, Vishnu Bhakti, Purna Shakti, Nityananda Purna Shakti, all the power of Nityananda is there. The capacity to render devotional service is there. Vishnu Bhakti is there. The mercy of Nityananda Prasad, the mercy of Nityananda is there. It's all being told by Vishambhar. Vishambhar continues, Sri Chaitanya Uvacha. Krishnara Dvitya Nityananda Bhai Nai Sangi Saka Shayana Mbushana Bhandu Bhai. Vishambhar said, Nityananda is the second manifestation of Krishna. Krishna Dvitya. Nityananda serves the Lord as his companion, Sangi, friend, Sakha, bed, Shayan, his ornaments, Bhushan, his well-wisher and brother, Bhushana Bhandubhai. Sangi, Sakha, Shayan, Bhushana Bhandubhai. Of course, this is poetry, so it's poetic, philosophical, and beautiful, and of course, meaningful. Sangi Sakashayan Bhushna Bhandu Bhai. So here he's describing the Nityananda Mahima. Vishambhar is describing the sambandha, the relationship, and the seva that Nityananda does in his form as Balaram. He's Krishna's Sakha, Krishna's dearmost friend, elder brother. His bhai is Bharubhai, his bandhu, his ornaments, as we were mentioning the other day, some of the Gurukul students went to Jagannath Mandir in Rajpur, and they were cleaning all the ornaments of the Lord. That was their seva. So I was explaining that actually you're serving Lord Balaram. And Balaram is the ornaments of the Lord, the Bhushanam. The Bhushanam, the ornaments of the Lord, is that gives the Lord his beautiful existence, provides a beautiful feature of the Lord. They're serving Lord Balaram by that seva, so that's being told here. Vedera agamya nityanandera charitra sarva jiva janaka rakshaka sarva mitra. The characteristics of Nityananda are incomprehensible to the Vedas. He is the origin, protector, and friend of all living entities. So this is, of course, Vishambhar is describing the different expansions, purushavatars of the Lord. Of Lord Nityananda, or Lord Balaram, who's acting as a maintainer and protector and friend of everyone from his vantage point of super soul, and also within the heart of Shirdakshay Vishnu, outside the heart in the individual universe of Shirdakshay Vishnu, and then Garbhadakshay, and all the different levels, Lord Nityananda or Balaram is the origin, protector, and friend of all living entities. Mahavishnu is the origin of the jivas. Ihara vyabhara sabha Krishna rasamai Ihane sivile Krishna prema bhakti hai. Nityananda's dealings are full of transcendental mellows for Krishna. Sabha Krishna rasamai. Just by serving Nityananda, One obtains devotional service and love of Krishna. Krishna Prema Bhakti Hai. So this is the great gift of Nityananda and the great gift of the Guru, Sri Guru. Guru gives the Krishna Prema Bhakti. He begins by giving the seed, and the seed becomes a Prem Phal. The seed becomes a Lata. The Bhakti Bijam becomes a Bhakti Lata. And Bhakti Lata grows in the soil of surrendered offenseless service. In the soil of surrendered and offenseless service, the Bhakti Lata grows, the creeper of devotion. And eventually it penetrates the coverings of the universe, Bhur Bhuva Swa. And it goes on, because this is a Braja Bhakti creeper. So this creeper doesn't stop in Vaikuntha. In Vishnuloka, this creeper grows and grows, grows beyond all the Vaikuntha planets, and grows, and enters into Goloka, in the Braja Gokul. And then the creeper grows on the soil of, on the Braja Raj. It grows in the Braja Raj, and finds that Tamal Krishna, that Tamal tree of Krishna, and wraps itself around the feet of Krishna. Then grows and grows and grows, and it grows up the form of Krishna as a Srimad Bhagavatam, right? You go through the Bhagavatam, the creeper of devotion is growing, first canto, second canto. When the creeper of devotion gets to the 10th canto, and it, which is not different from Vrindavan, Vrindavan Leela, then the creeper of devotion makes the Prem fall. Then Krishna savors that. Krishna gives the, instills the Prem in the heart of the devotee through Guru Parampara, through the Vaishnavas. And then Krishna relishes that prema. So the creeper grows up the tamal tree of Krishna, and when it gets to the level of his mouth, the creeper, the bhakti lata, which becomes at this point prema lata, then that prema lata makes a prema fall, a beautiful mango. And Krishna looks, oh, where did this fruit come from? It looks so juicy, so beautiful, yellow, red, this ripe mango, this prema bhakti fall. I think I'll savor this, I'll relish this. Prema, this prema shraya, the taste of this prema that's instilled in the ashraya vigraha, in this form of my devotee. So then Krishna relishes the prema in the heart of his devotee. So this is the development of prema. It's going like this. So this is this seed is coming from Nityananda, the seed of bhakti. By serving him, one obtains devotional service and love of Krishna. Sevile Krishna Prema Bhakti Hai. So by serving Nityananda's representative, Sri Guru, then one gets this Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Prema Bhakti. There's no other way. Nityasiddha Krishna Prema. It's coming from it. And the hearts, it's a transferal from the heart of the Premi Bhakti as it comes into our heart and takes shelter there. Purport. Since Nityananda was always eager to serve Krishna in ecstatic love, simply by serving Nityananda, the serving propensity of persons who are thirsty after loving devotional service to Krishna will be fully awakened. Jaya Jaya Nityananda Charanaravinda Janan Haite Payanu Sri Radha Govinda Adi Leela 5204 Chaitanya Charitamrita. All glory to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, by whose mercy I have attained Radha Govinda. This is Adi 5. This may be the story of Krishnas Kaviraj coming to Vrindavan. Because Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, in his house, Miniketan Ramdas, a great devotee of Nityananda, came to visit him. And then his brother and the Pujari, they were offensive to Miniketan Ramdas. So he was a little upset. So Miniketan left in an angry mood or disturbed mood. So Krishnas Kaviraj is feeling very unhappy that this great devotee has been offended. So he was thinking in his mind, maybe I should leave this house, run away from this offender who is my brother. He was disturbed in his mind. Then at night, Sri Nityananda Prabhu appeared to Krishna's Kaviraj in his dream. And then he spoke to him. He said, Kaviraj, go to Vrindavan. Go to Vrindavan. You will obtain. Run to Vrindavan. Go. Leave this place immediately. Go to Vrindavan. You will obtain all desirable things. That's the blessing and benediction of Nityananda. Go to the holy Dham. Because Vrindavan, Mayapur, Navadvipa is non-different. So by saying, of course, he was told to go to Vrindavan, so he specifically took that to mean Vrindavan. So he left his house, which is somewhere here in West Bengal, Krishna's Kaviraj's place. So that also means go to Mayapur, live in Mayapur, you'll obtain all desirable things. Then after that, Krishna's Kaviraj, the next day, immediately at sunrise, he left for Vrindavan. And when he attained shelter in Vrindavan, when he moved to Vrindavan, then Krishna's Kaviraj in this chapter, he lists and he mentions all the different treasures and gifts that he received by going to Vrindavan. And there's about 9 or 10 of them. So this is one of those verses. He said, and these are all gifts given to him by Nityananda. First he got residence in Vrindavan by the mercy of Nityananda. Then he got the darshan of Jiva Goswami by the mercy of Nityananda. Then he saw the Rasa Mandal by the, all these things he mentions. Then here, this is one of the verses. He said, I have attained Radha Govinda. By the mercy of Nityananda, I attained Radha Govinda. Which means I attained the darshan of Rupa Goswami's deity of Radha Govinda. And also I attained this perfection, Abhideya, in the practice of devotional service, which is controlled by, let's say, overseen by Radha Govinda, murtis, deities. So this Lord Chaitanya is saying, by the mercy of, by serving Lord Nityananda, one obtains devotional service and love of Krishna. So the example is Krishna's Kaviraj himself. You can read that in Adi Lila chapter 5, verse 204. Bhakti kari ihana kopina banda shire maya yantne iha puja kara ghiya ghare. Vishwamara said, everyone listen, tie the piece of this kopan on your head with devotion. Go home and worship this kopan with great care. So this kopan is worshipable. This is tadiyanam samarchanam. Tadiyanam samarchanam. Those objects, like devotees, for example, or the paraphernalia of the Lord, is equally worshipable as the Lord. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Puri, the king, Prataparudra, he was demanding, he was very eager to meet directly, personally with Lord Chaitanya. He said, no, I won't meet you, you're a king. So one day his son came, Prataparudra's son. So then Lord Chaitanya gave his chatter. He gave his chatter, his personal chatter, he gave to the king's son, Prataparudra's son. And when Prataparudra received that chatter, he felt as if he was receiving directly Lord Chaitanya's darshan. He started worshipping that chatter. So here, Vishwambar, Lord Chaitanya is telling, take this kopan, take it home and worship it. So that's exactly what all the devotees did, and that's told in the next verse. Paya prabhura agya sara bhaktagan parama adare shire karila bhandan. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, being ordered by Lord Vishwambar, all the devotees respect fully tied those pieces of kopan on their heads. Parama Adhar. Parama Adhar means with the greatest reverence, the greatest respect. Adhar. Parama Adhar. Shire Bandana. They tie their heads with the kopans. So they, by the order of, this purport is there, by the order of Mahaprabhu, they regularly worship these kopans with great devotion. To consider the clothes that the Supreme Lord or His devotees wear below the navel on the lower parts of their body as equal to clothes ordinary people wear on the lower parts of their body is completely against the intention of devotional scriptures. The dust of the feet and the clothes for the lower part of the body of worshipable personalities are sources of strength for persons who are hankering after devotional service. Bhakta Paraduli, Bhakta Parajal, Bhakta Uchishta, Teen Mahaval. Another place, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj is saying, Bhakta Padaduli, Bhakta Padajal, Bhakta Uchishta. He says, Bhakta Vashesha means Uchishta. Bhakta Vashesha Teen Mahabal. He said, these three are very, very powerful. Then the next verse he says, by even contact with any of these three, one can get Krishna Prema. Bhakta Padaduli is being described here. By the dust from the feet of great devotees, Bhaktapad, the feet of the devotees, Aduli, Charanaduli, Goduli, the dust of their feet. So that's here, Saraswati Thakur is saying, the dust of their feet, or even the clothes from the lower part of their body, which is what we call the underwear, the undergarments. The undergarments of a great devotee. Just like, I remember when Srila Prabhupada was here, sometimes pieces of his kopan were also distributed. We were very fortunate to get a piece of the kopan of Srila Prabhupada. So these are worshipable objects. As in Radharaman Temple, they're also worshipping the kopan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regularly. And if we consider, it's a very interesting viewpoint, because generally people, the undergarments aren't so much appreciated or worshipable. It's considered the lesser of all the garments, or the inferior part of the clothing. But as far as a great Vaishnava, very elevated and advanced Vaishnava, even the undergarments are worshipable. They're tadiyanam. They're considered something transcendental. And it says here that these are sources of strength for persons who are hankering after devotional service. If one considers these items abominable or equal to one's own dust of your own feet, or our own feet, or our own coat, or our own underwear, then the first level devotional service known as Shraddha is disturbed. Well, then he quotes also the verse from Antilila 16:16. Bhakta Padaduli, he says in English, the dust of the feet of a devotee, water has washed his feet of a devotee, and the remnants of food left by a devotee are three very powerful substances. There is no possibility of obtaining devotional service, Vishnu Bhakti, until one is fixed in the understanding. Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Payeche Keva, which means, in other words, we cannot obtain Krishna Bhakti or Vishnu Bhakti unless we're very firm and convinced and sure, a very firm understanding of this point. That is, without serving a pure devotee, one cannot advance in spiritual life. It is not for a person to consider his own stool and urine, or the stool and urine of those who are inferior to him, to be equal to the stool and urine of an exalted, worshipable person. If one develops such a consideration, it will disturb his service to Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava. And if one considers that which is not Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava as Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava, then instead of becoming faithful, such a person becomes faithless and deprived of respectable personality's mercy. This is aversion to the service of the Lord, or the non-devotional platform. So sometimes the Vaishnava, the very advanced Vaishnavas, I'll close on this point, like Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puripada, at the end of his life, he was quite infirm and sick. And he was initially, Ramchandra Puri, his disciple, was visiting him towards the end of his life. But he became very offensive, so he was driven away and ordered to leave there. The guru was so upset with him. The disciple was telling him, why are you calling out? Dina Dayar Dhanatehe Matura Kadavaloki Yusyasi. He's saying he was calling out, Ai Dina Dayar Dhanatehe. He was calling out in a mood of Radha Bhav and separation. Madhavendra Puri was calling out, oh, my Lord, Dina Diyardra, Dayate, why, Maturanath, you've got, why have you left me? You've left me. When will I see you again? Kada avalokyase, kada avaloka, kada avalokyase. When will I see you again, my Lord? You've left Vrindavan, you've gone to Mathura. Ridyam kataram. My heart is breaking in your separation. Oh my Lord. So this is a verse that was spoken by Radharani, which Madhavendra Puri repeats. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's crying this out at the time of death, completely identifying with Radharani's Divyonmad, Mahabhav, an intense mood of separation. And then Ramachandra comes along and says, Gurudev,
Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi. Fix your mind on Brahman. Get out! Out from here! I don't want to see your face. If I die seeing your face, God knows where I'll go. Out, jao. Then he went on, he came to Puri. But Ishwarapuri, a proper disciple of Madhavendrapuri, he was serving Madhavendrapuri. He was bathing him. He was cleaning up his stool and urine because he was passing stool here and there because of old age and disease or whatever. So Ishwarapuri, he was not thinking, oh, this is stool, this is urine. He wasn't thinking like that. He said, this is a stool of a great personality, of urine. Well, a great personality. This is Madhavendrapuri. He is such a great personality, and he is my guru. So he was not thinking this is some contaminated, he was not comparing it to an ordinary person's stool or urine. This is something, practically you can say, transcendental. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is making that point, that we should not, the acharya or the guru or the mahanta guru or the acharyas, we should not consider. If we think like this, then our shraddha, our faith in Shastra and Guru and Vaishnavas, Hari Guru Vaishnava, our seva will be disrupted and our faith will be diluted, our shraddha will be crippled. So we follow the Shastras and we fold our hands and if we have opportunity to serve, we don't, oh, what is this? We don't make any material distinctions or considerations here. And of course it's described in some incredible, of course Rishabhadeva is like Shakti Veshavatar, the Lord, but his stool, it's described, his stool smelled like roses or something from miles away. So whether the stool of an acharya, or an advanced, very elevated advanced Vaishnava, whether it smells like roses or lotus flowers like Rishabhadeva, or it doesn't, even if it doesn't, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is saying that we should have all proper regard and respect and not consider that even the stool, he's making the point, what to speak of the kopans? In other words, he's trying to drive the point home. What to speak of the kopans of Nityananda or any great Vaishnava? That's not a dirty piece of cloth or the inferior piece of cloth. That's a worshipable, tadiyam samarchanam, a worshipable object. Not only that, it goes even further than that. It goes to the level of the stool and urine of an advanced Vaishnava, param Vaishnava, pure devotee. Even that is worshipable and not something ordinary. It's all extraordinary. So extraordinary personalities, the Mahanta Guru and the Siddha Saints and the great Acharyas of devotion, everything is extraordinary about them. Their kopin, even to the extent of their stool and urine. So we should be very careful to check our mentality when dealing with very advanced devotees. So this is the point of this last verse. Is there any questions about this? It's like we hear from Shastras and we can adjust our mentality about these things. Just like we hear from Shastras that if you touch stool, it's contaminated, you have to take a bath, but the stool of cow is pure. It purifies you. If you want to take a bath, rub cow dung all over your body, then bathe in the water, you'll be fully pure. So that's the Vedic injunction, that's the Shastra. Shastra Nisheda. This is the rule of Shastra. So we accept it. So the Acharyas and Shastras are telling us that the stool and urine of a greatly advanced personality are not ordinary. They are extraordinary. They're even worshipable. So we have to accept. We simply bow our heads, yes. I have Shastriya Shraddha. Shastriya Shraddha is a symptom of the Kanishta Adhikari. Shastriya Shraddha. Firm faith in the statements of Shastra. Another example that our God brother reminded us of is Narottam Das Thakur serving Lokanath Goswami for 1 year. He was cleaning the stool field in Vrindavan where he's passing stool. And he was happy to do it. And by that humble service with full faith and submission and dedication to that service, he attracted the heart of Lokanath Goswami and became his disciple. Very extraordinary topics. These are mind-stretching subjects. Stretch your mind, stretch our minds, and deepen our faith. So towards the end of Srila Prabhupada's life, his different devotees, disciples were serving him. So at one juncture of time, towards the very end,
Prabhupada was bedridden, as we know. He was in bed, so he, obviously he was passing urine and stool in bed, in a bed, what they call a bedpan, or some pot or pan. And he, at one point, during that disappearance, Leela of Prabhupada, he saw his disciple Bhavananda. Bhavananda Prabhu had that bedpan, he was carrying it on his head. Just like we carry tulsi, when we go somewhere, we carry tulsi on our head. We carry the murtis on our head, Nitai Gaur on our head. We carry tulsi on our head on Vrindavan Parikrama or Brajmandal Parikrama. We carry the shastras when you see the Bhagavat Saptaha Walas. When they give Ramayana Katha or Bhagavat Katha, they carry, it's all folded up with cloth. And they go to the Bhagavat Shala or whatever they're speaking Bhagavat, and they carry on their head in a procession. There's all kinds of virgins with water pots and band, and it's a big procession. They carry the Bhagavatam on their head. So Bhavananda was carrying the bedpan of Srila Prabhupada, which was containing Prabhupada's stool. And he was carrying it on his head, which means showing great respect and great honor to the stool of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada saw that, and he appreciated that. He made some comment or some gesture that I appreciate. You have the proper understanding that even the stool of the spiritual master is worshipable and to be respected, to be held above our heads. Even, in other words, the idea is that even the stool of the spiritual master is better than me, is higher than me. And what did Krishnadas Kaviraj said? If you mention my name, I am lower than the worm in the stool, right? There was some discussion where he's discussing his own humility. He said, if you mention... Krishnadas Kaviraj is saying in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you mention my name, you'll lose all your piety. He said, Vistara, there's one shloka, he said, I am lower than the worm in the stool. So this is the humble mentality of Krishnadas Kaviraj. He says, I'm lower than the worm in the stool. What to speak about lower than the stool? So even the guru's stool is above the head of the disciple. So these are some very deep thoughts to try to realize and develop that type of faith where we can actually see and believe these type of subjects. And someday we may have the chance to act on these subjects also. And Krishna, of course, is observing us at every moment. So may everyone pass the test. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Ki Jai.